Will the House please come to order? Will the members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
38 present, 2 absent.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Buchholz and Rutter excused from the call of the House today, although I noticed that Representative Buchholz is here. I'll ask unanimous consent that Representative Osi be excused from the call of the House. He is still out of town.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Would the House please rise for a prayer by the Chaplain, Father Dale Sorrells.
Let us pray. Doing whatever needs doing before something else can be done doesn't always turn us on, Lord. It is humbling for us to read in Genesis that man and woman are created on the sixth day when all else was in order. Lord, guide us to put first things first, and not to begrudge ourselves the time necessary to get ready for the work we really want to do. It is one thing to say, as the prophet Amos did, let justice roll down like mighty waters, and something else not to have worked out the irrigation system. Amen.
Will the clerk, Representative Rode? Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Would the clerk please certify us to the correctness of the journal?
As chief clerk, I certify us to the correctness of the journal for the 92nd day.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that this body approve the journal as certified by the chief clerk for the 92nd day.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us down to introduction of guests. Are there any guests for introduction to the chambers? Representative Mackag.
Mr. Speaker and my colleagues, I'm pleased to announce that I have a group of students from the Nome area and surrounding communities with their coordinator here, Mr. Richard Burmeister. He's with the Title VII Indian Education Act from Nome Public Schools. I have June Galagrigan from Savunga. I have Peggy Iknakinak from Nome, Sandra Iknakinak from Gamble. After the school year is over, she'll be going to the University of Alaska. I have Mamie Carmen from Deering, Wendy Hahn from Nome, Tim Pearson from Nome and Teller. He is the president of the Alaska Association of School Governments, school association. Mr. Aaron Jackson from White Mountain. He, after school is over, will be going to Troopers Academy and to the University of Alaska for an associate degree in law enforcement. These students traveled for probably better than a full day getting down here from my far district. They will be involved in activities attempting to see how we as their legislators work for them. They are also part of what this activity is geared towards is their future activities with reference to the development and guidance of the regional educational attendance area in my district, the Bering Strait School District. I'm looking forward over the next few years to see them active in school board and community activities. Not all of these are seniors, and some of them will be going back to their communities to start seeing how they could get more involved in local community activities and perhaps step upwards towards governmental and public service activities. Present you the people from Nome.
Representative Smith.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A is the director of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Impact Office, Sue Feisen.
Are there other guests for introduction to the chambers? Now that brings us down to messages from the governor. Are there any messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 39, thus adopting Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 39, amended House, 11th Annual Boys State at Fairbanks. The enrolled copy was signed and returned to the Senate. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted herewith for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 47 by all members of the Senate, honoring the memory of Mark Jacobs, Sr.
Refer to the Rules Committee.
Senate Bill Number 197, amended by Holman and Sackett, an act relating to the sale of subsistence caught fish eggs and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
There is a communication from Sterling Gallagher, the Commissioner of the Department of Revenue, enclosing a supply of federal applications for automatic extension of time to file United States individual income tax returns. I have these returns on my desk for anybody that wants them.
Representative Speckin.
Is there an automatic state time extension?
There will be for the state returns. To get the federal extension, must apply for it. And Commissioner Gallagher has forwarded a number of copies of the forms. State extension will be automatic, 60 days for legislators.
I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the House Resources Committee held a confirmation hearing today on Bob Laresch, the governor's appointee to the post of Commissioner of Natural Resources. The members' recommendations were for confirmation, signed Malone, Snyder, Bennett, Eliason, Smith, Urien, Miller, and Osterbeck. Signed sincerely, Osterbeck, Chairman, House Resources Committee. The Committee on Finances had House Concurrent Resolution 47, creation of a legislative task force to investigate research needs, public repositories of data, and information dissemination agencies under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 47, and that it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Haugen, Schaefer, Meekins, Duncan, Cooper, and Swanson. House Concurrent Resolution 47 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House bills?
House Bill 464 by McKinnon, Bradley, and Phillips. An act creating the Department of Health, prescribing its organization, powers, and duties, and providing for an effective date.
Refer to HESS and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, can we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Please come to order. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, it's come to the attention of the body that House Bill 51, which is on the calendar today, is extremely similar in title and scope to legislation that has passed the Senate and is already in our body. So therefore, with the thought toward, as we usually do, passing the legislation that passed the initial body first, I'm going to move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 51 be taken from today's calendar and returned to House Finance.
Is there objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Would the clerk please read the next item on the daily calendar?
House Bill Number 185 by Rudd, an act regulating theatrical promoters. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 185 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 185 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Miles, Dankworth, Rudd, Brown, and Specking. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Mr. Clerk, have any amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 185 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 185 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 185 by the Judiciary Committee, an act regulating theatrical production and sports exhibition promoters.
House Bill 185 is before you in third reading.
Question.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 185 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, no nays, 3 excused.
So House Bill 185 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the daily calendar.
House Bill number 288 by Duncan, an act authorizing the Division of Tourism to make matching grants to promote conventions and incentive travel. The Committee on Finances had House Bill 288 under consideration. 4 of the members of the committee recommend it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Duncan, Swanson, and Schaefer. Having no recommendation, Guy, Haugen, and Rode. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 288 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Bill 288 in third reading.
House Bill number 288 by Duncan, an act authorizing the Division of Tourism to make matching grants to promote conventions and incentive travel.
House Bill 288 is before you in third reading. Are you ready for the question? Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker. I would like some explanation on this bill, please. It would seem to me we would need an appropriation bill on this. I don't understand where the money's coming from. I understand that there's to be some money granted. I don't understand where it's coming from.
Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, just to review very briefly the history of this legislation, it's not a new program. The program was actually started last year. This is the enabling legislation that would allow it to be a program on a continuing basis. Last year, we passed an appropriation measure of $200,000 to provide funds for matching monies for tourism, for the convention centers and incentive travel. And that money has been utilized this year by a number of communities, among those Anchorage, Kodiak, Juneau. I understand Ketchikan has some applications in. That money is being utilized. This proposed legislation only puts on the books the program, the enabling legislation, so it can become a continuing, ongoing program year after year. The administration, because in the last days of the session, the enabling legislation fell through the cracks last year, did not recommend funding in their budget. It was an intent, I believe, of the legislature last year to make it a program that would continue year after year, and this legislation would provide for that. Where the money will come from, there is a fiscal note with this bill for $200,000 to provide the needed funds for next year. Might also remark that for those who voted on the House budget, that $200,000 was also included in the House budget in the Division of Tourism in the development category. So the funding has already been approved by the House for this program. This is only legislation needed to make it, to put it on the books as an ongoing program, and next year we won't be faced then with the problem of going back and making a separate appropriation.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to ask the sponsors of the bill what the difference is between in the statutes currently 44.33140 and this current bill. And the second question is there a limitation for a nonprofit organization to obtain money? Is it $200,000 they get, $50,000 or $5,000 or whatever?
Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, there is a limitation. The limitation is per any one community. This grant is to a community under this piece of legislation. limitation is $50,000 for any one community, and of course they have to match it dollar for dollar. The difference between this program and the program that Representative Phillips was referring to in the statutes under 4433-140, which are grants for tourist development, is that this program, the grant money is to be used to to set up convention bureaus in the various communities to encourage convention groups to come to that community to meet, to hold their meetings, or to encourage incentive travel to those communities by various groups which may be traveling throughout the state of Alaska. The program that Representative Phillips is referring to is a grant for tourist development. It can be used for a number of things. It can be made to nonprofit organizations. It can be used for constructing, improving, or operating a visitor information center, for one, and there's a number of other possibilities. But the two pieces of legislation are entirely different. The other one is on the books. It's been operating for a number of years. The program that we're talking about here today operated last year and very successfully, as I understand. And I think it needs to be continued.
Is there further discussion? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 288 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Thirty-seven yeas, no nays, three excused.
So House Bill 288 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the daily calendar.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 171 amended by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to the sale of beverage containers and providing for an effective date. This bill is in third reading.
House Bill 171 is before you in third reading.
Question.
Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I don't oppose the concept of this bill that requires deposits on beverage bottles and cans, but I'm somewhat concerned, Mr. Speaker, that if this bill were passed and become law, then those of us in this body are going to sit back and say, well, we've taken care of the litter problem in the state of Alaska. It seems to me that we're putting the brunt of the criticism of litter on one small segment of all that garbage that's playing out around our countryside. If you notice what thing was put on your desk yesterday, if you read here, it says in a survey that was done by the National Academy of Sciences on what constitutes litter, shows that their survey showed that by percentages that paper products were 59%, all cans 16%, all glass bottles were 6, and plastic items 6, miscellaneous 13. So what we're addressing here is the maximum possible would be 22% of the litter. But we're only talking about beverage containers. We've got the mayonnaise jar, the ketchup jar, the mustard jar, and the many other things that come in jars and cans. So we're talking about a small percentage of 22%. So I think the purpose of this bill would best be served if we addressed all the litter in the state. And we did a couple years ago address the abandoned automobile. Certainly that's probably by far the worst offender, creator of garbage. But that doesn't even take care of the mufflers that are laying alongside the roadway, or the old tires or batteries that we see laying around the countryside, or this automobile part or that automobile part that's scattered along our roadways. Mr. Speaker, I'm also concerned that this is being sort of heralded as a solution. It was in the state of Oregon. But what no one told us is that in the state of Oregon, when they passed the bottle bill, they also passed a thing called the Litter Patrol Act or something like that, in which they gave jobs to youngsters to go out and clean up the highways. So was it the bottle bill that cleaned up Oregon, or was it the fact that they put some money into the cleanup, physical cleanup, kids walking along the highways picking up cans and bottles and everything else. Maybe that was what maybe solved their problems. Another thing that concerns Mr. Speaker is a survey taken by the Oregon State Highway Department showed that before and after the bill passed in Oregon, showed that in actuality there was an increase in litter along the highways in Oregon. Not a decrease, an increase. But then I suppose this youth litter patrol was out picking up the garbage, and that sort of showed that it looked good. And they do a highly concentrated effort on the highways that are heavily traveled in the state of Oregon. I think, Mr. Speaker, that we could best address the problem if we addressed all the litter in the state of Alaska and not just beverage containers.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, very briefly, I don't think any of us want to kid ourselves that we're going to clean up all of the litter in Alaska by passing this bill. This can be a mighty tool. It can be an extremely important thing that we do, but it's not going to solve all the problems. It's just going to be one of those significant things that we do that goes a long way towards solving the problem. Mr. Speaker, I'll invite the minority leader anytime he wants to go on a hike along the roads, just right outside my own community here. And I'll make this offer to the minority leader. If you'll give me a penny for every can and bottle that's a beverage bottle that's covered by the bill we're considering today, I'll give him a dime for every mayonnaise jar that we find. And that offer is good anytime, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think there's probably something to be said for enlarging our efforts and looking into something like these youth patrols. Oregon finances theirs by the sale of what they call vanity licenses, and I'm not sure what that is, but I presume that's probably the same thing that we've got, where you can have your name or some other saying on the license. Maybe we want to look into this. I don't think we want to just dip into the state treasury. If I read the mood of the public right now, they probably don't want to just have us tax the people for this purpose, but I would sure be interested in looking into other sources of revenue, and if the minority leader can come up with adequate revenues for that purpose, I would certainly enjoy co-signing with him and sponsoring legislation in that respect. In the meantime, Mr. Speaker, we have before us a piece of legislation that does work in Washington. I have the most recent 1977 report from the state of Washington, with a glowing letter from the governor of the state of, Oregon, in front of me. It shows the decrease in litter that's come about, and they, at least, ascribe this decrease to the Oregon bottle bill, very similar to what we're considering. So, and at a very little cost to the taxpayers of Oregon, just as it would be very little cost to the taxpayers of this state. I think we did a good piece of work, Mr. Speaker, last week in passing this legislation. I, in the strongest terms, urge, again, at least as emphatic a passage today.
Representative Urien.
If the majority leader will throw in all paper products in his offer, I'll take him up on it.
Representative Kelly.
To clarify a point, Mr. Speaker, a vanity license is a license such as one that says Legislator 21 or Legislator 34.
Representative Nakak.
Mr. Speaker, I have a couple minor comments to make with reference to this piece of legislation. I think part of my concern is the very basic economics of passing this piece of legislation, and I'm really happy that we have some students from my area who can very readily appreciate the impact that this will have on them and the communities which they come from. I've maintained in statements I've made before that Nome, as basically the district center in my house district, approaches 197%. Between 197% and 203% of what it costs to live in Anchorage. Now, let me emphasize that Nome is the bush, But doggone it, where do these kids come from is beyond there, you know, 200 and 300 miles beyond there. And the costs that those students and their parents and their communities face exceeds that of Nome. Now when 500 cases or 20 cases or whatever of pop are ordered out of Anchorage wholesalers, the airline company is not going to say, well, we have committed a substitute for House Bill 171. These bottles weigh a little bit more than the cans that we should have sent, but we're going to give you a discount because of committed substitute for House Bill 171 on your freight rate. That's not going to happen. The cost for the freight is going to be borne by the store owner, and that's going to be passed on to the customer. And I have a hard time figuring anybody saying that because we're not connected by a highway, the Alaska Railroad, the ferry system or whatever, that these costs are not going to be felt out there. I must maintain my opposition to this piece of legislation for the very fact that in the rural areas of Alaska, these costs are going to be borne. And when we already approach 197%, and the added weight of these bottles, despite the fact that you might get 10 cents on it, and compounded by the fact that we're exempted, this is just going to be an additional cost that these students, their parents, and their communities are going to face. And I have to maintain my opposition. Thank you.
Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, it may be that there is some cost connected with the consumption of beer and soft drinks if this bill passes. I think the chances are there won't be. But there is some cost that is, I think, directly related to the bush, and that's energy cost. I'm sure that there's no one particular item or commodity that has cost more in the bush than fuel. And there's been a definitive study on this, and if the United States went to a returnable bottle system, it would save 29 million barrels of oil per year. Now that would go a long way to meeting the fuel needs in the bush. And I think that's the larger problem, and unless the states take leadership in this area, I think the federal government's going to be very slow in doing it. And I think in order to alleviate some of the problems that, say, a national bill would have, I think it's wise that the state go ahead and adopt a bill which would be grandfathered in any federal legislation. But I think the real crisis is in the energy. And you consider that these bottles can be used again, and even recycling the aluminum can is far more energy wise than trying to mine it again and refine it again. I think that the savings of 29 million barrels a year through this system, this bill won't save it, but it will save energy in Alaska, and I think that ought to be a greater concern, especially to the members from the bush.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I don't want to cause a rehash of all of the debate on this bill previously. I was not here the first day it was up. The only thing I'm confused about, well, I'm probably always confused about many things, but the thing I'm principally confused about here is I don't know how the bush areas and the larger communities away from the areas connected by these roadways and railways can be affected by the legislation. Apparently the members from those districts believe that they are. And I don't understand that in light of subsection C on page 2.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I kind of share Mr. Brown's puzzlement on that point. I think, though, Mr. Nakak did mention one thing, and that is he thought that bottles would weigh more in cans, and that would be reflected in higher freight weights. Mr. Speaker, although this is called a bottle bill, There's nothing in here that prohibits the use of cans. And for years now and for years into the future, the economical, sensible thing to send out to the bush in the way of pop and beer is cans and will continue to be cans, so there won't be any increase in freight rates. The only difference is that right now the cans that go to the bush and throughout most of Alaska, although I noticed an exception in the Legislators' Lounge the other day, are those stupid little pull-top things that you see just littered all over everywhere. Once the bill passes, the bush, like the urban centers, hopefully will be free of those little pull-tops, and they'll have the non-detachable types.
Representative Urien.
Speaker, I have a question of someone. The other day when we had this bill before us, we passed an amendment that said that an area wasn't connected by the mainliner in the ferry system. I think that was the word we used, mainliner. And I wonder if someone would define for me mainliner, specifically areas that are served by the Leconte. Are they excluded or included?
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I think general usage indicates the mainline ferry systems routes are those routes served by the so-called blue canoes, the big vessels, and by the Columbia.
Representative Urien.
Is the Leconte a blue canoe?
No.
Representative Guy. House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, just wanted to say that the horse that us Indians are riding on is getting as tired as the bulls in District 16.
Representative Carpenter. Representative Nackack.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One further comment with reference to this. Representative Greening alluded to the fact that the amount of oil saved by use of these containers would amount to 29 million barrels, and that this could be very well used for the energy needs of rural Alaska. I see no provision in this piece of legislation which states that 29 million barrels of fuel will be shipped to the rural areas of Alaska to take care of our energy needs. So I don't know why he made that statement.
Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I'd love to put that provision in, but I don't think it would work that way. The oil that would be saved, of course, would be if all the states went to a returnable bottle. There are some 16 billion returnable bottles made, or non-returnable containers made every year. If we went to a returnable system, that's the estimated oil that would be saved. The point was simply that the larger problem is the energy crisis, and you know every journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step, and I think this is a step in the right direction.
Representative Urien.
Mr. Greening's if is an awful big if. You should capitalize it and put lots of exclamation points after it, because as of today, only four states in this nation have similar legislation. Two of those were enacted by initiative, two by legislatures. Only four. And it appears to me, if it's such a good idea, those people in the bottle-producing and can-producing states would have passed it a long time ago.
Question. You ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 171 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Thirty-one yeas, five nays, four excused.
So House Bill 171 has passed the House. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the committee substitute for House Bill 171 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the effective date clause is adopted on House Bill 171. Can the clerk please read the next item on the daily calendar?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 18 by Krutula, relating to the youth airfare from Anchorage, Alaska to Europe. The Committee on State Affairs has had Senate Joint Resolution 18 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Nackack, Kelly, Lethine, Dankworth, and McKinnon. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution Number 18 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read Senate Joint Resolution 18 in third reading.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 18 by Krutula, relating to the youth airfare from Anchorage, Alaska to Europe.
Senate Joint Resolution 18 is before you in third reading. You're ready for the question. Question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution Number 18 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 4 excused.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 18 has passed the House. Brings us down to the end of today's calendar to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet briefly, I hope, immediately after the session to take up Senate Bill 4, which is more or less the same as House Bill 51. I'd specifically like to invite Mr. Carpenter to come because he did have an amendment to that bill. It's on the desk here. We will also take up House Bill 228. This afternoon, the hearings on the oil and gas taxation measures will resume over in the court building on the first floor in the Supreme Court room. They will begin at 1:30 and continue until approximately 4 o'clock.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The contrary to the implications of editorial writers of the Fairbanks Daily News Miner and other newspapers, the hostage that's being held in my committee will continue to have hearings on it, as it's already had two. The Labor and Management Committee will continue consideration of Senate Bill 131, House Bills 437 and 34, and other suggestions regarding problems involving workmen's compensation jointly with the House Commerce Committee at 2:30 this afternoon. I admit there are some conflicts, and just come to the meetings as you can. We have several witnesses to continue from this morning. And then the Labor and Management Committee alone will continue its proceedings on those legislation pieces and other matters within the subject matter at 8 a.m. on Thursday.
Representative Urien.
Could I ask a question, Mr. Brown, regarding that?
You may ask a question.
Mr. Brown, I assume because your committee is holding joint hearings with the House Commerce Committee on this to save some time and so there won't be any duplication of testimony, I assume that when that bill passes out, it will pass out of both committees at the same time, or is it going to be continued to be held hostage by the second committee?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
I don't presume to speak for the next hostage holder on the bill. I presume that the Commerce Committee will give the bill due deliberation. And the Commerce Committee does have some other bills to consider. We could continue to have joint hearings, but then, of course, many other pieces of legislation that Mr. Urien's interested in might not get out of either committee if we did.
Further announcements? Representative Parr?
Mr. Speaker, the House will meet this afternoon at 3 o'clock. We have House Bill 142, which is transferring the Alaska Historical Commission to Natural Resources. House Bill 418, de novo hearings in Superior Court for tenured teachers. Mr. Speaker, on the schedule is House Concurrent Resolution 44, the Board of Regents to honor legislative finding. That's Representative Rudd's resolution, and since she's ill, we were taking that off our calendar for today. Tonight at 7:30, House will meet on House Bill 351, which establishes Institute of Justice at the University.
Representative Urien.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, in the form of announcement, sort of a, as you know, this body and the Senate passed some time back the House Joint Resolution Number 11, which requested the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce to hold hearings in Alaska on oil tanker safety. I had a phone call from Senator Stevens' office yesterday that informed me that that committee will indeed be holding hearings in Alaska, and they'll be in Anchorage on the 29th of April and Juneau on the 30th of April. And I know members of this body certainly want to testify before that committee on oil tanker safety. And there'll be a more formal announcement coming from Washington in the near future.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, House State Affairs 115 this afternoon will be taking up two bills, House Bill 120 and House Bill 401, dealing with the lobbying regulations and conflict of interest.
Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, I neglected to say in the previous announcement that the Finance Committee will also be meeting at 8:30 tomorrow morning on the oil and gas bills.
Representative Gardner.
Judiciary will be meeting at 3 o'clock today on House Bill 354 and Senate Bill 249, suits against local governments, and also House Bill 204 on the Children's Court.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, the Commerce Committee will meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning to consider H.J.R. 32 dealing with long-distance telephone rate integration, House Bill 399, the Public Utility Consumer Council, and other utility legislation.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, the Special Minority Committee on State Land Disposal will meet again at 3 o'clock this afternoon in the Governor's Conference Room. Today we're expecting a summation of the efforts that we have expended so far, which is to try to reach some determination on what state lands might be available for disposal, how soon the state could get these out to the people, and what methods they would propose to use. I would urge all interested members of this body to attend.
Representative Osterbeck.
Well, Mr. Speaker, House Resource will meet today at 1:15. That will be taking up House Bill 116, Classifications of State Land, House Bill 391, Redup Bay, State Game Refuge. And we will have a free conference committee meeting tonight at 7 p.m. in the House Resource Committee Room 118 on House Bill 189.
Further announcements? Representative Urien.
Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Carpenter be excused from the call of the House from Friday, April 15th through Tuesday, April 19th.
Hearing no objection, the member will be excused on the dates indicated. Representative Miller.
Speaker, before the adjournment motion, another announcement. The speaker today at the Democratic luncheon will be Representative Smith. That'll be at noon. As always, everybody of every political persuasion is invited. Speaker, if there's nothing further to come before us, I'll ask unanimous consent. We stand in adjournment till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.